Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could come on my fingernails and put some press-ons on and say, that's new glue. My guest today, oh boy, is a hilarious comedian and award-winning writer who's written for Shrill, woo, Saturday Night Live, yay! And the new Showtime series, I Love That For You, it's Sudi Green!
Hi, Nicole.
How are you?
Oh my God, I'm doing good. I'm kind of hungover, but kind of gonna bring the energy. I think this is gonna be good. This is gonna kind of like reset kind of the body.
Listen,
the adrenaline of doing a podcast.
I want to hear about what happened last night.
Oh my God, I went to the GLAAD Awards and absolutely, I devastate myself. Like when I drink, because I love to indulge, I don't believe in moderation.
Oh, me either.
And I also like love to like ingest and imbibe, don't we all? Mm-hmm. And so like if I'm at a thing and there's like anything, there's candy, there's popcorn, there's cheese, there's drinks, I'm like, great, I'll just consume. And consume and consume. And yeah, it was also kind of like, what are you going to do? Not drink a lot?
You gotta. Yeah, I mean, at any sort of award ceremony, I'm just like, where the booze be at? And at the Emmys, we were told that there was not going to be any booze. But luckily, there was wine and cheese boxes on the table.
Oh my God, those sweaty little cheese boxes that they gave us.
They were very disgusting. But there was a lot of wine and I got fucking shit-faced.
Well, I was going to ask you that because I was like, is there ever a point, because you're freaking at the award shows, you're pulling the looks. I mean, like it's always memorable, but like,
Oh, thank you.
It gives me like pleasure that you still are going to those things and getting drunk, because I always feel like such a noob, because mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, I'm such a fucking like peasant that I just like go to a fancy thing. Like, let's get wasted.
You are not a peasant. Don't do that to yourself. No, she's a queen.
No, I'm a little wench. I'm a little potato she's a wench.
I feel like a wench sometimes, but no, I get fucking drunk. A very famous person, I won't say whom, but they came up to me. We had met previously on something, truly like a very bit part in this thing. Mm-hmm. And they said, hello, how are you? This is at the Emmys. And we like air kissed. And then they said, see you later. I got to go fucking get drunk. And I was like, okay. We all, okay.
Oh, all was right. It Viola Davis?
I wish. Viola Davis at the Emmys 2 years ago. I don't know. It's the first Emmys I got to go to, and I went to the Governor's Ball.
Ooh.
And I got to see Viola Davis. She was munching on a little slider, minding her business, just sitting like a normal person who's not a legend. And I was like, I gotta do it. Gotta bother her. And I said, I'm so sorry. I know you're just trying to enjoy your life, but you're so inspirational and really wonderful, and I love your work. And she munched, swallowed, and said, thank you. And then continued to munch. And I was like, okay, we're not having a moment. And I don't, it's okay. It's fine, it's fine, it's fine. You just, it's fine, you know, you just wore sneakers on stage, you're trying to eat something, it's fine, you're fine.
You approach and then you kind of have to accept if it's going to be a moment or not. But also, like, some famous people are really good at giving you the moment. That's a special skill.
It is extra, I think.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like a handhold, like a tight handhold, and like when you can really tell people are like really receiving,
mm-hmm.
or like when people are like complimenting a celebrity and you can like tell that they have on their like receiving face.
Yes.
I thought it was so funny at the Oscars this year where like literally Laverne Cox on the red carpet was like telling people to be present.
Really?
Yeah, she was like, well, be present tonight. Take it in.
That's really funny. Laverne Cox knew what was going to happen. Laverne Cox is a prophet. She said, be present. This is going to be the Oscars that you've never seen before. You better be present. You better be watching. Keep your eyes open. You might miss something if you don't keep your eyes open. I'll talk about the slap till I die. I loved it. People do not like my hot take on it. But boy, oh boy. It was something fun that we all got to talk about, you know?
Life happens.
That's
whether
it.
You're ready for it or not.
Life happens.
You know?
I mean, we don't have to talk about it. I mean, it's damn near a month ago. But I met Catherine O'Hara at the Emmys 2 years ago or something. And I mm-hmm. love her. And I was like, oh boy, Catherine O'Hara, I love you so much. And she went, and I love you. And I was like, you don't know who I am. And that's fine.
I actually have a whole freaking gripe about this. Not about Catherine O'Hara, but about like the moment, which is that I talked about this on, am I allowed to say I talked about it on another podcast? Okay, I will.
You can, yes, because the people in the comments will say, I heard that story somewhere else. People in the comments, ooh, they be active.
No, this is part two. Okay, so the setup happened on another podcast where I was talking about how when you meet a celebrity and you want them to be like, oh, Sudi, and you are the best, and you're my mm-hmm. daughter now, and come sit with me, and let me ask you about what your career and your dreams, and you always want it to be that, and it's never that. It's always like, you know, I was talking about like when you're a writer on things or like you're meeting somebody in a professional capacity. It's usually just like you meet them, they're polite, and mm-hmm. you do your job, and you move on, and they're like, great. So I had talked about how it's never what you think it's going to be mm-hmm. on this podcast. So then this producer comes up to me at the Emmys and she goes, oh, my God, I heard you on Las Culturistas talking about that. Mm-hmm. And I like work with Catherine O'Hara. I would love for you to meet her later. And I was like, oh, my God, I would die to meet her. But I'm kind of thinking in my head like, well, right. But like the point of the story was that like it's never like what you think.
This producer's like, and I got a doozy for you. She's gonna slap you in the face. Do you wanna meet her?
And then it was like later, and we were at this party together, and like I was drinking, and I was also kind of like the least famous person there. So I was kind of trying to be like cool and chill and not like, you know, bark up people's tree. And this producer keeps being like, soon we're going to talk. And I was like, well, she's sitting with like Eugene Levy and Martin Short. I don't think now is the time. And then later she was like, let's go now. And I was like, yeah, again, like she seems to be enjoying herself. So then it was literally as Catherine O'Hara was leaving this party. She's tired. It was like kind of cold out. Like you could tell the shoes were hurting. Mm-hmm. And the producer is like, Catherine, this is Sudi. And I just said, I love you. And she said, and I love you.
Boy, oh boy. This truly confirms that that's just what she says.
I was like, I almost said something to this very sweet producer lady who wanted, you know, to introduce me, which is so kind. But I really almost turned to her and be like, well, yeah, like, that was what I was talking about.
That's the point. This is what I was talking about. You heard it. And then you made it come true. What's wrong with you? That's so funny.
Well, we love Catherine O'Hara. She loves us back.
Love. I love her. She loves me, which is very kind. I often think about the wine commercial that she shot in the scene on Schitt's Creek. It's so funny.
I've never seen Schitt's Creek.
Well, just Google that one scene. And honestly, if you don't want to watch the show, just watch that. It's fun.
I whisper with so much shame.
Hey, listen, you can't watch everything. There's too much content everywhere.
I literally can't even like get through one show. But that's because I watch 100 hours of reality TV every single week.
Wait, what are you into? Tell me about this.
I love Salt Lake City. I love New Jersey. I love Beverly Hills. Yes. I mean, like, that's really, I've been working a lot lately. I just finished shooting. And so when I was like shooting, I couldn't watch anything. And so I'm kind of behind on everything. I love Love Island.
Oh.
I freaking love, I've started watching on Netflix, Young, Famous, and African or something.
Oh, I saw the trailer for that and I was like, I think I'm into this. And I didn't follow through and watch it, but now I think I'm going to.
It's wild.
And everyone has so much money.
Everybody has so much money. And everybody is giving you exactly what you want. And the wigs alone. Oh, my God. The wigs on these women are absolutely divine.
I love a wig. What a treat. I guess I will get into it. You know, I was going to get into Beverly Hills because Kathy Hilton is iconic. And I can't remember who said it, but they're like, everyone's acting like it's all hunky-dory. And then there's a beat and she's like... Who's hunky-dory?
Who's in a perfect delivery?
No notes. I loved it.
I'm so obsessed with her. They also, like, I also got really into Paris in Love, which was on Peacock, which was Paris Hilton's wedding planning show.
Oh.
It's a reality show about her getting ready for her wedding. And Kathy and Nikki are in it. And it also features Paris's husband, who kind of just looks like a frog man.
Oh,
like he looks like a skinny frog. he kind of seems like he could be attractive just in the way that like man with hair can sometimes just like work.
Man with hair. Now I got, oh, interesting. Carter.
Oh, yeah, that's his name, Carter. And he has the most.
Wait, I must stop you. His mouth is so wide.
I know. No lips, and the teeth are so big, and the lips, the teeth are bit are a lot and tiny, and the mouth is wide, and no lip.
It is truly incredible. I mean, you've seen him before, but this mouth.
The mouth is insane. He kind of...
It's so wild. And then he has dead eyes.
He talks like this a little bit. He's like, Paris, P, Paris, P, P.
He P, calls my her girl. P?
He calls her P. Paris, I want to get to know the real Paris. That's what he always says. I told Paris I want to get to know the real Paris. And then... Okay,
wait, Sudi, are you doing a bit? Is this...
That's my jokes. I mean, it's not a perfect impression, but I think it's like an... What I'm doing is the vibe.
P. We got to go. We got to get ready. We're late. We got to go, P. P. You don't have time.
I love an endearing nickname. I don't know what I'd want mine to be if I was, you know, with a person, but definitely not P.
Yeah.
P sounds like P, like urine.
Yeah, no, it's not cool for me.
Not for me. Sudi, do you have a significant other who calls you a nickname?
No, I'm single.
Single, and she's ready to mingle. Or she not? Maybe she worked too much. Who knows?
I'm out here mingling. I'm trying to mingle. You're out here mingling. I'm trying to mingle. I had been mingle.
Okay.
I'm all, actually, this is like kind of the first time in my life that I've actually enjoyed being single this much. Ooh, and but my medium just told me that I'm energetically done being single and that my partner is coming. So I'm mingling for the partner.
I love this.
She's incredible. And she talks like this. Honey!
Where did you find her?
My friend got me a gift certificate. My friend Mo got me a gift certificate because her mom goes to her. She said to me that my spirit guide looked kind of like a hobbit.
The spirit guide was talking to her. Is this woman good or is she funny?
No, she's good. She's good. She like knew everything that in my head I was like, I need answers about this. She hit them off 1, 2, 3, 4. Like this, okay. this. And I mean, it was amazing. She said to me that I was energetically, because she's talking, she's a medium, she's talking all about energy. She said, energetically, I'm done being single. And she said, you're going to have it all, sweetie. And by it all, I mean the white picket fence. And she said, I mean, meet someone, date. This is literally because she also records the session. So I have the cadence in my head. She goes, meet someone, date, move in, get married, have children. And that sounds like very normative. But guess what? Mm-hmm. It's what I want. It's what I want one day. Doesn't have to be now, but I want that one day.
You want the white picket fence, the husband, the children. How many kids do you want?
Two.
Two?
Do you want kids? Do you want kids, Nicole?
As of now, no, but that might change. I don't know. I used to say, I want them. I wanted 8 children. I picked out all their names. They had insane names like Starlet, Jade, Rose, Marie. That's the one that really sticks out in my mind.
That's good. Oh my God, I can see her. I can really see
her. Very loud and very cute. But yeah, I wanted like 8. And then I became an adult and I was like, maybe 1. And then I hit 30 and I was like, oh no, thank you. I don't want that. That's wild. Like I nannied and I was like, I don't want to wake up to like a little eyes staring at me being like, mommy, mommy. And I'm like, my name is Nicole. Like, I don't want to be called mommy.
All of that stuff, I'm kind of like, when it comes to kids, when people are like, oh, I'm all like, la, 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 don't tell me that. I don't want to know. Like, I know that I won't be able to, like, have my freedom, and I know they're going to wake me up in the middle of the night, and I know that they're going to be insane. I don't want to hear about that part, because when I see the baby's leg, I want to eat it and go in there and just go, nom, 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 nom. And I literally see kids, not even like little babies, like straight up like 9-year-olds on the street. And I go, oh, like I should not be putting this out there how hard I have the baby fever, but honey,
whoever you're going to attract, because you're going to have it all, honey, you're going to have it all. So you put it out there that you want it. Whoever might hear it might want it.
Well, you know, if anybody's listening, I can pay for the kids. So like don't worry.
I truly have I've gotten up to 12. There's like 12 or 13 straight men who listen to this podcast, and all of them have shown themselves in my Instagram DM. So thank you for letting me know that you're straight and you listen, but I think I'm up to 12 or 13 now. I think they're all in relationships. So
that's amazing.
You're going to have to find a gay man who's friends with the straight or a lady who's friends with the straight to relay the information that you are out here looking and you're down to fuck. Cause you got to get one dumped in you to get a baby.
It does not have to be a straight man. Okay. I'm not discriminating.
Oh, okay.
It can be anybody. Truly.
Anybody.
We love anybody. We love anyone. I love cool. this. We love anyone cool.
I love this. That's how I feel. Anybody cool that's and nice. I'm looking for nice now.
Nice, as opposed to what were you looking for before?
Ooh, I wanted somebody to wake up in the morning, I roll over and they spit in my face and go, "You're a fucking idiot." No, I'm kidding. I just... Yeah, be like, "You round face idiot, good morning." No, I...
I thought that's what your kid is going to do.
"You round face idiot, you're my mother. Get up and make me eggs."
Don't tell me that, Nicole. I want to eat the baby leg.
I mean, baby legs are so juicy and so cute. But I guess I was just like, I didn't mind if someone was, how you say, mean to me or rude to me. I'd be like, "Oh, it's okay, whatever. You are still around, you know?"
That's not good. My sister and I, like, it was like the summer, right? It was like 2 years ago. So it was like the summer of post-pandemic. I mean, like the first summer pandemic or whatever. And my sister and I, or maybe it was like, whatever. Timeline doesn't matter.
Yeah, who
my
knows?
Sister and I were on the beach and we were both single and we were both like, "It can't be that hard to just find a nice man. Let's just find a nice man who will love us. Like, it's not that hard." And we were just sitting on the beach. And then like 2 months later, my sister and I were like both dating very nice men.
Oh, that's nice. I love it. You put it into the ocean and the ocean said the tide will come in.
The ocean and- said, "Honey."
Honey. Okay, so is your sister still with the man that she manifested?
No.
Okay.
But that's okay. People come in and out of our lives.
Yes. And my therapist once said, she said, "Every relationship is a good one because it teaches you."
It's true. It's true. And also, relationships have beginnings and endings. You know, all relationships end. I think that's like, I've had a lot of relationships. I'm also like, I break up with everybody. That's my problem.
Oh.
It's like, I'm a breaker-upper.
You're the one who does the breaking up.
I've never been dumped.
Wow. I've only been dumped. Oh, I refuse to get out of something
idiots.
Toxic.
These idiots. Oh, so you're like the one like...
I'm a ride or
die. I just don't know how to stay.
Well, I mean, it's not like you're leaving because you're like, "This is great, gotta go." Obviously, like, right. You know, things are going on.
Right. No, exactly. Like my last breakup, the person very correctly said, "Well, I think relationships take work." And I was like, "Yeah, but I don't really want to work on this one."
Sudi.
So fucked up.
Sudi.
So fucked up.
You said that. I mean, here's the thing. In the moment, I was like, "Ooh, that's a gut punch." But after I like digested it and was like, "That's nice and honest." And if someone said that to me, I'd be like, "Oh, okay. Yeah, that means I shouldn't be with a person who doesn't want to work on this because it is work."
Well, I think that in that situation, I just didn't feel like we were right for each other. But I also think that that is sort of like a false notion of somebody being like right for you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think you gotta like, really what you should do is like, there needs to be a couple of key things that they got going for them that you're like, "You're nice. You bring me meats and cheeses." You know what I mean? And then everything else you kind of, yeah, you gotta work on them. I mean, I don't know why I'm saying this because I never take my own advice, but I'm not energetically single anymore. So
no, you're in your energy. You're done being single. You are manifesting somebody to come to you. But I think you're onto something where it's like, I don't think anyone's really like meant to be. I think you meet someone that you get along with enough and then you try, you work on it. Like you just keep working to be together. I think. I don't know.
And I also think that like there are I probably know like 4 or 5 people that like could have been my partner. But like not I wasn't even relationships with them. But it's like people you meet, like people I met in college. I was like, "What was I freaking doing? That could have been my husband." Like, you know what I mean? Like like I think that that is sometimes how it works where it's like I feel like people didn't tell me really early enough to like really kind of try and lock a good one down.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel like they tell you when you're youthful or whatever to be like, "Sow your oats, like live a life. We're independent boss bitches. Just like live. But yeah, it's like he could have just been like, I'll live, but also like look for somebody.
I think that like I had too many feminists in my family and I like overcorrected where I was like, no, I'm not doing anything for a man. Bleep, bloop, bloop. And then it was like, well, I had a couple good ones that I kind of let slip through the cracks because I wasn't really thinking pragmatically. And now I'm like, interesting. I'm seeing kind of where they live, kind of, you know, the lifestyle, kind of the jobs, the baby. And I'm like, okay. That's good. They did good.
But then, like, on the flip side, I hooked up with this dude, I guess a decade ago now. And, like, we had this, like, whole flirtation where I was like, maybe it'll happen. And every time I'd visit New York, we would, like, see each other and, like, hang out or whatever. And he just had a baby. And I was like, damn, dude, you look weathered and, like, kind of sad. And I was like, maybe I dodged a bullet. Like, you just seem sad and old.
Yeah.
But he's definitely younger than me.
I'm sure you dodged a... Well, I mean... I think that anybody who doesn't treat you like the precious jewel that you are, they can go fuck themselves. That's what I feel.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wait, are you on dating apps? Wait, before we get into that, let's take a break. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only from my listeners at Babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at Babbel.com/date me. Spelled Babbel.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, we're back, Sudie.
Are you on dating apps?
Yeah. I'm on Hinge. Okay. I'm on Raya, but I have no luck on Raya.
Fun fact about Raya, if you delete it enough times, so like if you finally get approved for Raya, then you're like, I don't need it, and you like unsign up for it, and then you sign up for it again, they'll be like, hey, you've signed up and unsigned up too many times. You got to reapply. Raya thinks it is the most special app in the whole wide world, and I'm here to let you know. Fuck you, Raya.
It also like used to be like the thing that was, I thought the thing about Raya was that it's like, it's for people that are like doing things and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, waiters are on Raya. I mean, no shade to waiters, but it's just like unemployed photographers. Like, how many people are raconteurs?
Wasn't it supposed to be like industry people, like the entertainment industry? That's what I thought it was. But then it was just like, oh, it's just like a lot of DJs, which it's, I guess, is the entertainment industry. But I don't know.
I saw a Raya profile where the guy's profession was magic trick inventor.
Yes.
And I smashed that like button and I did not get a match.
I did not get a match.
You better work, my king.
Sleight of hand? Sleight of hand? Dexterity? I'm in.
Honestly, if I didn't match with a magician, I'd be devastated. I love magic. I think magic is a treat. I can never figure it out. I am always bewildered and befuddled. So I met this magician. He did an episode of Nailed It, and he did this like magic trick that didn't air, where he ate a kernel of corn and then pushed it through his skin and it came up through his eye, and I lost my mind. I was creaming everywhere. I said, use my buttermilk cream for your cake. I was so wet. I couldn't believe it. I was like, and he's got a wife and a kid, but like, I was so horny for this corn that came out of his eye. Sweetie, I love magic.
You're horny for magic. You're literally magic. Horny for magic. You don't just love it, you're horny for it.
I'm very horny for it. Like the magic castle, I have to wear a long dress. Who knows what might fly out from between my legs.
God. Can you imagine getting fucked in the magic castle?
If I got fucked at the magic castle, whoever did the fucking would never be able to disappear on me. That's one trick they would never be able to do. I would just be there. I would be so clingy. I'd be like, more magic, please. Like, just imagine a magic trick while you're getting fucked. Like, that is delightful.
Oh, my God. He pulls the coin from behind your ear and you come.
I would. Or like before we even start, he pulls the condom from behind my ear and he's like,
And you're like, why are you wearing that?
Hey, this should be on already. He's like, oh, sorry about it.
Watch as I pull out.
Yeah, just I fucking love magic. So I'm sorry you didn't match with that magic person.
It's fine. I mean, the apps are hell. I'm also, my medium told me to be light and breezy about dating. So that's my new thing, is that I'm light and breezy. Like the other day I went on a fake date that was a 6 p.m. coffee. And the whole time I was like, I'm being light and breezy about the fact that I'm going to have like a cup of tea at 6 p.m. I'm being light and breezy.
I love that you called it a fake date, one. Two, whose idea was it to get coffee at 6 p.m.?
Well, this was my thing. Was like, this was so many strikes, but I'm being light and breezy. And so I'll say all of this with the light and breezy attitude about it. It was not a date, which is fine. I thought it was, but it wasn't. Oh. These were maybe my clues. Uh-huh. A coffee. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. I feel like people in L.A., guys in L.A. do a coffee date.
Yes, which I think is insane. Yeah.
People in New York are like, let's get three glasses of wine at 8 p.m.
Yes.
And people in L.A. are like, a 3 p.m. oat milk. And I'm like, all right, okay, I'm being light and breezy.
Light and breezy. Light and
I'm
breezy.
Being light and breezy. It was there. It was far away from where I live. And it was at 6 p.m., which is like not the time for coffee. And then it's like, well, then why aren't we getting dinner or getting a drink? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, it's not a date. But the whole time that, oh, and also he was like, where should we go? And I was like, you pick. Like,
yeah, you want to take me out? You fucking pick.
I could write a book.
So did you meet them on an app?
No.
Oh, okay. See, that's like the curious thing. The curious case of, is it a date? Especially when you meet someone, not especially, but like when you meet someone in person and you're like, let's go out. And you're like, okay, are we going out? Or like, are you trying to pick my brain? Or like, is this a networky thing? What is it? And then you're like, oh yeah, no kiss, nothing. We just literally had a cup of coffee and went about our business.
But I'm being light and breezy. I'm being light and breezy about it. So it's like, you know what? On to the next one. Because I could be like pissed about that and like put like energy into that. Or I could just be like, okay, yeah, that kind of sucked. Moving on. What, I'm going to be out in these streets this weekend. I got wasted two nights in a row this weekend. Kind of like, not really about the coffee, but it was a little bit like, I'm out here and experiences are being had. I feel like the apps are hell. And you know, I feel like you have to pretend to be a true idiot when you're talking to people on them. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, that's okay. Light and breezy. I will meet my partner through the computer. That's okay. Whatever. Light and breezy, baby.
I mean, I love this attitude, light and breezy, because I'll go on a date and then think about everything that happened on that date for like days and be like, was it me? Was it them? What are we doing?
But were you, when you get like that, are you thinking about stuff you did because you like the person, or are you just thinking about the date?
I mean, usually on a first date, I don't like you.
Yeah.
I don't know you. I also have walls that I love putting up. I think of myself as a house, and there's four walls and a roof, and you gotta figure out which door or window I'm gonna let you open to get in, which is bad. But I have learned to just like guard my life because I don't know. I don't trust people. Like, I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah. I mean, you have a lot that people are trying to get, baby. So that makes sense.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just had a bad experience with an assistant. I hired an assistant. I guess I shouldn't get too into it, but it ended up just blowing up in my face in a way where I trusted that person and they did something that like really wasn't okay. And now I'm just like, oh God, this is gonna like bleed into like dating now, where I'm like, let someone into my life and then like I have to worry about whether or not I can trust them.
Yeah, it's really hard because on the one hand, you want to protect yourself and you don't want to be like naive and you want to protect yourself from harm and damage. But on the other hand, you don't want like the course correcting to be so intense that you kind of end up fucking yourself. And that's kind of how I think that is sort of, I mean, this was a low stakes non-date, but like I think that I sort of made the mental choice to like not let the experience like be more than just like an annoying thing that happened. You know what I mean? And I think that kissing frogs, you know what I mean? But it's hard. It's hard. And also like people are weird and people out here too. Like I just moved to LA from New York and like there is a lot.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
We love a coffee date in the sunshine.
Go for a hike with me, please. I'm kidding.
I'll go on a hike with you.
I would never go on a hike. I don't do it. I don't do it.
I hate hiking. I hate it so much.
It's awful. Wait, did you move here for I Love That For You?
Kind of. Where our room was virtual, but it was on West Coast time. So I was like, I was planning on moving anyway because I left SNL last season.
Oh, I didn't know that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, that sounds like an insane thing for someone to listen to and be like, I left a job. Congrats. No, it's just like, it's a step in your career that's like,
It was great. And now that chapter is done. And I also like, I think, you know, I was so obsessed with that job and was so committed to it. And it was hard, a really hard decision to leave. And I think that I was so afraid of FOMO, like on a Saturday night in New York, that I was like, I'm going to move to a new city.
I can't possibly be in the same city where I had that job. And what if everyone's hanging out? I'm looking at pictures. I could be there. If
exactly.
I hadn't left, I could be there.
Exactly. And also, like, I don't really want to, like, go on the same train that I took to work every day. You know what I mean? I just like really needed that like clean break. I didn't even really want to be in the apartment that I like did like SNL at home in. You know what I mean? I just was like, we got a kind of new chapter, this whole thing.
No, I get it. The job is so, it's like intense and it's a lot and you dedicate a lot of time to doing it. So it's like, yeah, let's start fresh, new, in a sunny place. And I say sunny and the sun has not fucking come out today.
No. Well, I wouldn't know. I haven't left the house. Oh. Just kind of been sitting on my couch burping white wine.
I love that for you. I also have not left my house today, but I was not burping up white wine. I didn't know I did have a drink last night. I had a Miller Lite. I don't know why I have Miller Lights in my refrigerator.
Okay,
jock.
Okay, kind of high school, kind of baseball team.
Yeah, man. We just had a great game. I got a slam dunk and slid into a base and I had my beer.
Okay, state school.
Wait, what did I say? Slam dunk? State school.
Yeah, you
got
a slam dunk. I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I just mean like, yeah, state school.
Wait a minute,
baby.
Wait a minute. Uh-oh. She heard a word she don't know. What does pejorative mean?
Like bad? Now I'm nervous I didn't use it right. I think it means like negatively.
Oh, okay. I just refuse to be the person who goes through life just being like, I'll just ask if I don't know something because I don't know very much.
No, you know everything. You're so wise, Nicole. You have in wise and radiance.
This is what
I do because you do voices, and so I feel I'm a voice person. Like on the first season of Shrill, AD and I in the room were like bing bong bonk all the time, and then like these like Harvard guy writers were like, "You guys do a lot of voices," and we were like, "Oh, you guys don't do that."
He's like, "Oh no, sorry, you don't want to talk like this right now."
But so you're so now I'm going beep bop.
I mean, I left a voicemail for a friend where all I did was go, "Hi, beep 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 boop beep 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 doop," for almost 2 minutes, and then every 15 seconds would start laughing uncontrollably.
And then go back to beep beep beep.
This is a voicemail?
This is a voicemail. I leave insane voicemails for people. Sashir, I think, has kept most of the ones that I've left her. But we played one on Best Friends where I was just like, "Where are you? Are you in Atlanta? And are you going to be fucking tonight?" And then I laughed. I'm just like insane all the time. But honestly.
That's so good. I can't wait for her. Wait, what was your daughter's name? Starlight?
Starlit Jade Rosemary.
That's gonna be her exact attitude when people read her name. She's gonna be like, "It's Starlit." Well, that's gonna be how you talk to Starlit. You're just gonna be like,
"Good morning."
She's like, "My mother never communicates with me. She's never once said anything of value. I don't know how to speak."
She kind of can't speak English. She like goes to preschool. She's like a little behind because she's just
she's
kind
so
of
behind.
Speaking like a minion.
Oh my God. Have you seen the Minions movie?
No. I haven't. Okay. Is it good?
It's one of my favorite movies. I watched it. I laughed. I was like gleefully having a good time. Told Sashir about it. She was like, "I'm not interested." And then we were flying somewhere and I was like, "Hey, the Minions movie is on there. Do you want to watch it?" She was like, "No." And I was like, "I think you should. It'd probably be great for our relationship." So she started watching it and I, without headphones, watched her watch it. And when she did not laugh at parts I thought were funny, I would tap her. She would take out her earphones and I'd be like, "But wasn't that funny?" She was like, "No, Nicole." I was like, "Okay." And I kept doing, I don't think she made it through the whole movie, but yeah.
Minions freaking slap.
Banana.
I love them.
Banana, honey. And also, I love me, the despicable me, little, give me a cute baby girl saying it's so fluffy, I'm going to die. Come on. That's gold.
I mean, yeah. I love Minions. I love Despicable Me. I just saw two movies that I have no notes on. Actually, I do have notes. So I saw Turning Red, loved it. Actually, no notes. My notes on The Batman. I saw The Batman. It was 3 hours long. Could have been longer. That's my note. I loved it.
I love that. I have not heard. I haven't gone. Well, also, like, I like have. I'm not in a relationship with a straight man right now, and so I'm not going to see those movies. I would when I was at SNL, I'd go see everything because, like, you know, you're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'll even, like, realize, like, I watched the first Spider-Man, and, I mean, the Tom Holland Spider-Mans. Mm-hmm. I watched the first one, and then I watched the most recent one, and then I missed the middle one because I was like, "Oh, I was single then."
Mm.
So I didn't go. That's how I missed an Avengers movie, kind of. It all sort of hit, you know.
That's so funny to be in a theater and be like, "Why don't I get what's happening?" Oh, because I was single.
Because I was single. Yes. I literally Googled when I was home catching up on Spider-Man. I had COVID over Christmas. And so I was like, "I'm going to watch Spider-Man movies." And then when I don't have COVID, I'm going to go see the good one that is out. But I like literally in the middle of it, like missed something. And then I Googled, like, "Did I watch Avengers Infinity War?" And there was an article that was like, kind of took me to where I needed to go. And I was like, "I did watch it."
That is so funny that you could truly Google, did I watch this movie? And something will pop up that's like, here's my op-ed on how I did not see that movie, but here are the things you need to know for other movies.
No, it was literally like, it was almost as specific as like how to remember which Avengers movies you've watched. Like,
that is so fucking funny. I Googled recently, So I fart in my sleep, allegedly, and I was
allegedly.
Like, allegedly. A friend said that's what happened, and I was like, oh, rude. Another friend said I sleep face down sometimes with my butt in the air. And guess what? We're all just having a nice time. But I Googled, how do you stop farting in your sleep? And it literally was like, chew your food. And I was like, this is embarrassing.
That article's fake. That's just how your gas wants to get out. I farted in my sleep one time and I woke up because of the fart, because I was sleeping in the bed with a romantic partner,
mm-hmm.
and I farted, and then I got so scared about the fart that it woke me up, and then I jolted up, and then the person woke up and they were like, are you okay? And I was like, I had a bad dream.
I had a bad dream. Go right back to sleep. Don't smell anything, please.
No, the loud ones are never, loud ones never smell.
That's what people say, but I feel like they are all really stinky, and I feel like that was someone trying to make themselves feel better. It was like, oh, it was so loud. It didn't smell because it was so loud.
Well, I think it depends on the type of fart, but sometimes I get those farts that are, and again, I'm energetically not single, and so I will talk about my farts because I'm being light and breezy kind of, but I love those farts where it's just like, oh, that was air. That was just like air that was in there. And it sounds like one of those like door stopper things kind of being hit. It's like, and it's just like, gung, 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 gung. And it's like, oh, yeah, that was just air in there, honey.
That's so funny. I once farted in bed with a lover and it was like a sheet razor fart. It was just like, I felt like a cartoon because I was like falling asleep. And as I like, you know, you get like a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I was like, oh no. And then I like woke up and then I like trying to figure out if I had woken them up. I think I did. And I think, cause it was a one night stand. I think he was just trying to be like, you know,
cool about it.
I'm not addressing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way to go. That's the way to go. I'm big on no farting on purpose in front of somebody, like romantically. Mm-hmm. No farts. Try and, I mean, farts happen, burps happen, but try and not like let them rip. Mm-hmm. And also no peeing or pooping with the door open, no peeing next to me, no shitting next to me. Those, you got to keep the mystery alive. And I truly believe that. I truly believe it. I mean, stuff happens. Obviously, stuff happens, and it's normal. And it's normal. But do not be sitting next to me on the couch and rip one, sir.
Yeah.
That's a no.
I don't think I've, like, casually farted in front of, like, someone I was dating. Yeah, I think I keep all that to myself.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised, like, how much it comes up. Like, I have these talking points ready because I've had to have this conversation. And also when I'm in a relationship, you have to say these things to men, though. Like, I mean, at least I think you do. I also, like, tell people that I'm, like, big on, like, smells. Because I'm, like, shower. You know what I mean? Like, I need you to shower. Like, when you smell good, that's going to be important for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of always just sort of, like, telling the people that I'm in a relationship with not to fart or to shower. So I don't really know why I'm single.
At what point are you telling them, hey, it'd be really hot if you showered? Is this like when you, like the first time you're like, you don't smell good. And you're like, hey, I'm really like sensitive to smells. Like, how do you bring that up?
I feel like the most recent time it came up, I like expressed that when they just come out of the shower and they like smell good, how like hot I think is that is. And it's true. I loved like somebody just showered, like, let's fuck. I love that. Cause then you can just put your mouth wherever you want and you're not thinking about it. And you're like, bloop, 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 bloop. Ooh, although, you know, yum, 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 yum. Sex is nasty and that's okay too. But I like clean. And And then I think that he got the hint. Was like, so I should have. Ooh, boo, 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 boo. You know, just kind of.
He was just like, oh no, I'm stinky.
You got to tell somebody when you got to tell a man when he stinks. You have to.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, we have to take another break.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Okay, I went on a date with a man, this was years and years and years ago, and I know I've talked about it on this podcast, but he smelled like a dirty dish rag.
Ugh, I hate that smell.
Me too, and it was like visceral. I was like, oh my God, how do you smell like this? Like, were you wet at one point over and over and over again, but never toweled off?
It's old clothes. It's like old clothes that aren't washed.
It's also probably like an old towel.
Yeah.
Ugh. Mm-hmm.
I hate that smell. No, I think that it is... also, some people just have more body odor than other people, and that's okay. But if it's because you're not washing, like, just people have just different standards. People have different cleanliness standards.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if your body is coming into... One time in college, I had a boyfriend tell me that he didn't believe in soap.
What?
And I had had, like, a freaking yeast infection. No, a UTI for, like, the entire summer. And then I like look at, this is so disgusting. I like look at this boy's fingernails and I'm like, those fingers go in my pussy hole. You gotta fucking wash your hands. So you just don't fucking know. That's why you have to tell men to shower.
I am absolutely floored.
Because you have no
idea. So wait, he was just like rinsing his hands? He is COVID. He's patient zero. What do you mean you don't believe in soap?
I mean, I will say he was like so dumb and like 21 at the time. But like, you know, it's like there's sometimes like this attitude, I think, like specific, I don't want to generalize, but like specifically from men where like there's an attitude of like, well, that's made up. Well, that's not. Well, no. Like I had a partner be like, I'm putting on like all of my like serums and stuff. I'm doing like my nighttime routine, putting on my retinol. And he's like, yeah, it's all snake oil. And I'm like, well, no, it's not. Retinol works. Like, it's not. It's expensive and it's real. Like,
wait, what's your longest relationship?
3 years.
Damn, that's a long time. Okay, here's a weird random question. Or not random, but like for me, 3 years seems like an eternity. Mm. So like after you break up, do you still talk to them or no?
Well, I don't like to talk. It hurts too much. It's painful. Like, obviously you check in after. And I think that in some relationships I've met up with people after or like gotten a drink or gotten coffee or whatever to catch up. But it always just makes me start. It just always is really painful for me. And I usually, and maybe this is cruel of me, but like I usually like, yeah, don't like to talk to them. But it's really fucking sad. It's really fucking sad. And that is something also that my medium told me, where there was an ex that I like really, you know, really regretted breaking up with. And, you know, he was in a relationship and she told me, she was like, don't, that relationship is over. She was like, don't think, she was like, don't look him up on social media. When you think about him, like, banish the thought. And I literally now, if it comes up in my brain or something will remind me, I'll have the thought of, no, that relationship is over.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Because
it's like, why torture yourself?
Yeah. And I feel like sometimes people stay friends with their exes and I'm like, why?
I think some people want that person still in their life. And but I, for me, that's just too hard. And also, I'm kind of like, I got a lot of friends. And like, my friends are like really funny and cool, which is like maybe part of the reason why we broke up, because you weren't as like fun as my friends.
Yeah, I just think it'd be painful to be friends with someone that you like loved.
Some people can do it, but I really like it. Just it hurt too bad. It hurt too bad.
It hurt too bad.
And I don't like feelings, too. Like, I don't like some people like I was like dating a poet for a really long time, like very sweet, sweet man. But this man was good at having like a sad feeling. He was good at it. Like he I wouldn't say he like welcomed it, but he was not afraid of like being sad, being emotional in those ways. Like, and I really compartmentalize and like banish. And so like, for example, I think that he still, you know, would love to like talk to me more. And we do chat sometimes, but like, I can't really like go there all the time. Like, I can't go there.
I feel like he would want to keep talking to you to like mind you for poetry, you know, to be like, oh, I talked to an ex and the break of dawn has dusk scampered. I don't know. I don't know fucking poetry.
He never wrote me a poem when we were together. And then when we broke up, I got 1.5 poems.
1.5 poems.
I'm not sure that the second one was about me, but I think part of it was. Because this is also the thing is that I was dating this poet and I met all of his poet friends and they were all like so fucking legit and like great. And this was their life's work and they were like amazing at it. And I really had to pretend to get a lot of poetry. Like really, really pretend to like really understand it. And I kind of would like beat around the bush with him a lot and be like, so like when you read like the line, like what are you looking for? Like, and how many times do you read it before you're like, ha, that's what it was? I never got the answers I needed.
That's really funny. I love that so much. Wait, okay, Sudi, what's the worst date you've ever been on?
Oh, the worst date I ever went on was with this guy who, okay, I'll just cut to the good part. So he was kind of like, it was a Hinge date or maybe even Tinder. Mm-hmm. And he kind of was like a bit of a like fuck boy vibe, like not like a guy I would normally go for. But I was on the date and he was like hot and I kind of just like wanted to like have sex with somebody. And I kind of knew because he was fuck boy that like he would be like down to smash. So we go back to my place and he says, I'm into intense sex.
Okay.
And I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And then he slaps me in the face.
Sudi, no.
I'm laughing because it wasn't like a violent slap. It was like kind of like a hot kind of like grab of face. And it was like not, it was like in the moment, it was, you know, these things are all about, I mean, they're not all about, in the moment, I didn't receive it as like, I was more just like shocked.
Yes.
But I didn't feel unsafe for whatever reason. I didn't feel unsafe, but I was shocked. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what do you think about that? And I was like, I would potentially be down for that with somebody that I knew better, but because I don't know you and we just met, I kind of like want to have like more normal straight up sex. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay, yeah, I'm down for that. He like totally received and was like, got it. So we have sex. I've already like emotionally put a lot, like I've kind of put up with like this whole evening kind of leading to this moment. Yes. Like mama just needs to get laid.
Yes.
We have sex. He literally 2 pumps and he comes. Mr. Intense Sex. I'm into intense sex. I want to slap you around. He's just like to pound town and boom, boom, bam.
Wow.
Does not like go down on me. Does not like try and like rectify my situation. So then he's kind of like laying on me and I'm like can see his like back and like neck. I don't know why we were like cuddling after, which is so fucking now that I'm thinking of that, that's like fucking weird. And he like turns to look up at me and he says, sorry. And I think like, oh, he's going to like apologize for like, you know, maybe there's like something weird there. He's going to like explain his situation to me. And I'm like expecting like the apology goes, sorry, I have this big weird Band-Aid on my back. And I looked down and he had this like giant note card sized Band-Aid on his back because I guess he has like a back problem. So he has to get like shots in his spinal cord.
Oh, no.
And I was just like, sorry, I have this big weird Band-Aid on my back. That's what you're apologizing for. You slapped me in my kitchen and I let you fuck me.
You slapped me in my kitchen. That's truly so wild. I hooked up with this dude that I met on like a rooftop of this place in New York. And like we went down to my hotel room and we were hooking up. And I was like, hey, can you go down on me? And he went, oh, man. And I went, okay. I mean, you don't have to.
Excuse me?
He said, oh, man. And I...
And then you were like, oh, well, please? Like, what? What do you say after that?
I just went, I said, okay. And then I sucked his dick. And then it was like, eh? And then he was like, nah. And then we did, like, have sex. And it was so unfulfilling. It was truly...
How are you out there with that attitude? How are you out there with that attitude? Like, just suck it up and pretend like you like it. Like, just at least do that. At least do that.
I mean, even if you don't want to, you could be like, yeah, in a little bit. And then if someone said in a little bit, I'd be like, oh, okay. And then later I'd be like, oh, wait, is it a little bit now? You know what I mean? Like, that's a way to confuse.
No, if you don't want to, I don't know. I mean, okay, if you don't want to, like, I kind of feel like, what are you doing here?
Kind of. I was like, and I, like, sucked your dick. So, like, but then I guess that's, like, a bad way to think about things. It's like, well, I did this. You do that. But
I don't know. It's mutual pledge. It's like you're trying to get each other off.
Oh, man, is what got me. Oh, man,
is fucking rude. And also, if you're in my hotel room, please be at least open to that. If we're fucking, yeah. If you're going to fuck me, you're not going to put your mouth on my fucking pussy?
Yes, please. Psycho. Suck on my pussy.
But also, I think I've never had somebody deny, but I do think that I one time had a lover tell me that you can tell if somebody likes it and that's what makes it good. And I really believe that. I really like looking back, I'm like, when they like it, it's so much better because you can tell. And Now, even though I don't love, I mean, I guess some people love going down on men. I don't relish it, but I try and go in with the attitude of, I fucking love this, because I'm like, I think psychologically, like, you really have to set an intention before you go down on somebody.
I think you're right.
You got to give that dick your good energy, you know?
You got to give it the good juju. I personally love sucking dick. I'll suck dick till the cows come home.
That's amazing.
I love it. There's just something about...
That's like, amazing.
I like the power dynamic where it's like, I'm down here and I'm looking up at you and I could stop at any moment, but I won't. So yeah, I love it.
I also like it when they're really into it and then when they make noises. Oh, God. I need noises. I cannot do like a silent waspy fuck. I need a grunt. I need talking. I need a full script.
I like when a man moans.
Oh yeah, who doesn't? And sometimes I'll be like, oh, even if I'm not feeling like not feeling it, the talking will like really push me over the edge.
Yeah, because you're just weird? Like, ooh, that? We are all loving this. Everyone's having a good time.
Yeah, I think like you have to kind of like speak it into existence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to manifest the good time.
Energetically.
Energetically.
Energetically, we're fucking.
Energetically. I mean, Yeah, I've truly just been going to town on myself. I have a bunch of sex toys. I have a Tracy's dog. I got my Hitachi magic wand, and then I got my little G-spot vibrator, and I have a nice time, and I pretend that there's somebody there, and it's wild. It's lovely. Sudie, I'm so horny right now. I can't.
Because I just did a magic trick.
It seems as such. Maybe I'm in love with you because you did the magic? Oh, no!
The listeners don't know, but I was doing sleight of hand that whole time you were talking, and you just got so
And I was like, oh,
slick.
No, where did the card go? Sudie, okay, I want to hang out with you.
Let's not go on a hike.
Let's like have the most fun. Sudie, I used to ask all my guests this, and then I like stopped doing it because I was like, I don't know, maybe I've grown out of it, but I haven't because I really genuinely want to know. Would you date me?
I would date the fuck out of you. I would wine and dine ya and take you to meet my mama.
Oh, I love parents. I thrive with parents.
I bet you do.
I think it's because I don't have any. They did. So I go, ooh, hi, older person. Do you want to take care of me?
And they do.
And they say,
and you know,
okay.
They do. I'm so glad you asked the question because I'm a fan of the pod. And it's kind of like if you hadn't asked me the question, I kind of would have feel like gypped in a way.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't want to do that to you. And
I love it.
I'm bringing it back. I stopped for like a couple months and then it just didn't feel good. And I was like, I got to bring it back. So yeah, I brought it back with you and one other person. I think I did it once. I don't know. Whatever. We have to fucking get out of here before I start rambling some more because I'm enjoying my time with you.
I love that.
Sudie Green, where can people find you?
I am at Sudie Green on all socials.
And what do you want to promote?
Well, I Love That For You is out right now on the show Showtime. It's the show that I wrote for, and it's very funny, and so people should watch it.
I'm excited to watch it. Jeremy, I can't say his last name. Bleeber?
Byler.
Byler. Mm. It is spelt like Bieber, but with like an L in there. So I'm always like, Bleeber.
Bellier. Jeremy Bleeber. Yep.
I'm friends with his husband, and I was like,
oh my God,
why didn't Jeremy put me on that show? He was like, Nicole, you can't just stop it. I was like, okay. But yeah, the trailer looks so funny, and I love Vanessa Bayer. I think she's so funny.
She is a gift from God. She's one of the funniest women I've like literally ever met. She is so fucking funny in the show. And I'm going to say season 2, inshallah, starring Nicole Byer. We got to get you in there.
I want it. Wait, inshallah. Sudie, quickly before we leave, how do you use a diffuser on your curls?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I diffuse. I do curl cream. Well, the thing that has really changed my hair is something called New Wash. I do a curl cream. I flip it and I diffuse. But this is kind of my hair is this curly. So it's not just the diffuser, but I diffuse to get the volume. And then the thing that really pushes it over the edge is Living Proof. A full dry volume blast, which is like this crazy like hairspray that's almost like a dry shampoo, and it comes out like a t-shirt gun. Like it's so intense, and it like you just spray it at your roots, and that's really kind of the trick.
Ooh, I love this. This is like gonna help my curly haired listeners. I don't know if it's gonna help me because I've got a fro going on that I'm really trying to grow out, and it's been laborious.
I can't see it. Kind of scooch down to, oh, it's cute. You look cute. You're my little starlet.
Oh, Sudie. Honestly, thank you so much for doing this. I've had a really lovely time. Please be my friend. I've been interviewing assistants because I need to get a new one because I had one. It ended in March badly. But like I keep interviewing people and being like, I want you to be
Wait,
my friend.
I might have a good person for you, and I'll text you later.
Ooh, what a dream.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see. We did promotion stuff. I asked if you would date me. Okay, we're at the end. So
yay.
If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can review it on Apple Podcasts. If you write a review, that's nice. But if you want to hit on me and say something absolutely filthy, you can write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com. And you can also give me advice, or you can tell me a nice, fun story that's not problematic, and I will read it maybe. Okay, so this person said, "Is this dirty? It feels dirty. Hey, Nicole, I would love to put my whole hand up your booty and use you like a little puppet, you cutie patootie. Eat your vegetables. Have a good day. I'll say this. That was dirty. Putting your whole hand up any orifice of the body is fucking filthy. So thank you. Bye-bye." That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by... oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.